The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
We are continuing with our news and notes in college football, and it is always wonderful to have joining us in our weekly Under the Helmet segment, the great Jason Peter, defensive standout for his Huskers way back in the day, the 90s? A three-time national champ. Jason, I hope you and your beautiful family, you guys enjoyed a wonderful holiday, and it was restful.
Yeah, it was such a great time of the year, being able to take a few days off and just spend time with the family and watch some football. And obviously this year some crazy things happened on Thanksgiving Day, especially in the NFL. But yeah, it's just a great time, and you know, you really have to remember what it's for and being thankful for your health and just you know, everything that you have and the people that are surrounding you.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to talk about some of the craziness in the NFL and one of your former Huskers. But talk to us about, I mean, what a great way for Nebraska to finish out their first season in the Big Ten Conference with a win, a 20-7 win at home with Iowa. You know, what has been your assessment of the season and how Nebraska did finish things out?
I think it was a disappointment. I think a lot of Husker fans think it was a disappointment. I think obviously you have the fans that drink the Kool-Aid a little bit, and you know, they're on board with whatever the head coach and Bo is selling. But this was his fourth year. And I think there were greater expectations as to where they would finish. You know, they end up with nine regular season wins, and that had kind of always been the standard at Nebraska. But I also realized that back when Coach Osborne and even prior to that, they were playing one less game a year. They're playing now with a total of 13, but you have an extra regular season game. And for me, it kind of means that the standard needs to be raised, and you know, it should be where your goal is for 10 regular season wins. And I think when you look at the games that they lost, and this is, I think, where my issues are with Bo and the staff. The Michigan game, the Wisconsin game, embarrassing. Blowout losses. National television, blowout losses where it wasn't even close. And then the other loss is Northwestern, where you're playing against kids that they're going on to be doctors and lawyers. These kids, not to take anything away from what they do as football players,
right,
they have some very good football players on that team, but you just should not lose to Northwestern. You're Nebraska. It's the same as Oklahoma shouldn't lose to Texas Tech, especially the current Texas Tech right now. I mean, you have better football players than them, and in a year where the expectations were so great, and in a year where you had told everybody that the team was going to be better and the quarterback was going to be better and the black shirts were going to be just as good and maybe even better, you can't have those embarrassing losses. They're games where they're not competing anymore. And those are games that sometimes happen in a coach's first year. They shouldn't happen in their fourth year. And you know, he came out after the game, Bo did, and said it's not about the amount of wins and losses. It's kind of the way that they play the game. And, you know, I have a hard time swallowing that. I really do, because when everybody picked you to win the Big Ten in your first year, you didn't hear anybody come out and say, whoa, 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 let's lower these expectations here. We're just looking to be competitive, and you know, that it is about wins and losses. It's a business. It's a business for everybody except for the kids, but it's a business and a big dollar business, and you're being paid a lot of money, $3 million a year. And I don't expect to hear that from our head coach when you finish the season the way that you did. I expect you to say, we expected to win them all, and we're disappointed that we didn't, and we're not satisfied with this, and we're going to get our we're putting the responsibility on our shoulders, and we're going to make sure that we're better next year. So, you know, it just kind of depends on who you ask. For me, though, I think it was a disappointing year.
Well, you know, and Jason, you know, I mentioned in our open, our lead, I always remind our listeners every single week, you know what you're talking about. You're a three-time national champion. You know what the level of expectation should be. So I have to ask you, were you pretty disappointed to hear Coach Bo Pelini say that he was proud of his team's initial Big Ten performance? When I saw that, I thought, man, I got to talk to JP.
Yeah, I was disappointed, and I feel like...
Because that is not the Nebraska standard that you've been talking about every single week.
It is not, and we expect to be competing for conference championships every single year, and it's the national championships that, you know what, if you're not in the mix once or twice every 3-4 years, all right, that's understandable, but... You know, the way that this program used to think was it was national championship or bust. And if you weren't in the hunt, it was a disappointment. 1996, my junior year, we end up 11-2, I believe. And we played Virginia Tech in the Orange Bowl, and we won that game. And that was a disappointment. That year was... it was the only real disappointment of my collegiate career. But that's the way we thought. It was, if we're going to lose one game, we might as well lose them all. Because we wanted to run the table. We wanted to go undefeated. And we wanted to beat everybody on our schedule. And Bo, he had said something about, well, we're playing all new teams this year, so, you know, considering that, well, I think the season was a success. And I don't care if it's a team you've played for the last 50 years or if it's a new team. It's a new opponent that everybody in the country has to deal with because teams change, coaches change, players change. If you're basing your game plan off of what you did last year, no wonder you ended up with the losses. Every year is a new year, and you have to prepare your staff and your football team like you're playing a new team. Because we've seen it throughout college football. We see it at every level. You have schools and NFL teams that win 4 games one year, and they'll win a Super Bowl the next. And you just can't go off of what you did last year. You can't go off of what you did last week. It's about, what have you done for me lately? I mean, that's just the nature of the beast, I think, in our world right now, not just in sports. It's everything. What have you done for me lately? So to hear him say, well, it was all new opponents, I don't care. Everybody else that you're playing, you're a new opponent for them, too. You think Brady Hoke, you know, he went in and he's playing all new people. I mean, the kids played some of the same schools for last year, but do you think he wanted anything to do kind of with the Michigan from last year? No,
right.
He went in and gave that team a complete facelift, and everything about them was different than last year. So I don't buy the whole thing that, we had to play all new teams. That's just a bad excuse.
You know, when we reflect on your time at Nebraska, I know that it was an exceptional group of men that you played with and young guys, but today's kids, Jason, just comment on this, they really are different. Do they need that extra motivation? They just seem to be a little bit softer. I mean, the coaches have a whole new set of problems. I mean, there's so many distractions and all the different gadgets and stuff out there. I mean, you've really got to work, it seems, extra hard to keep these guys focused.
Yeah, and I think a big thing with the kids, and I don't want it to seem like we were guys that... we walked to school uphill both ways, you know, in 5 feet of snow. And
hey, I did in Montana.
I know, but it is a different time, and you're dealing with a different kid. And these kids today, they're much more sensitive. You can't critique them. You can't criticize them without them taking offense to it. They're always right. And it's got to go back. I mean, it's got to start with some of the parenting, I think, where this becomes an issue. But then also because of the way that these kids arrive on campuses, where with these recruiting services and these sites now, these kids are put up on this pedestal from the time they're freshmen in high school. And all of these local writers that are following them and the Rivals and the Scouts and all of these sites, you know, these kids have 50, 60 articles written about them since the time, like I said, they're freshmen. And everybody's been telling them how good they are. And then you have college coaches that come in and these kids are making demands and saying, well, I don't want a red shirt. And everything is given to these kids too early. They don't have to earn anything. They don't have to work for anything. And when you have that type of environment, it doesn't mean anything. Well, you know, when you earn your black shirt because you played half the defensive snaps in one game, I mean, that's not earning your black shirt. I mean, the black shirt was the most coveted possession that a defensive player could have at the University of Nebraska. I think they finished the regular season with 24 kids having black shirts. Obviously, either Bo doesn't know what the tradition means, or he just doesn't care about the tradition anymore. But there's no way that 24 of the, I mean, you have kids that aren't even starters that are earning black shirts. The only way that happened was if at the end of the year there was a guy that played significant snaps over the entire season and was exceptional, except the only reason he maybe couldn't be a starter was because the guy in front of him was an All-American. Maybe at the end of the year the kid might get a black shirt, but the way that he's handing them out now, I mean, you know, and it's tough for me seeing with you mentioned the social media and the Twitter and when I see kids that are tweeting to their followers 45 minutes after getting embarrassed by Michigan, that to me, I take that personally, because that, it's just like you don't care. You don't care about the way you're representing Nebraska, and it just doesn't mean enough to you when you lose. When we lost, you wouldn't see us for a week. You didn't hear from us for a week until we could get back out onto that field and say, that was not a good representation of us last week. And that, don't judge us by that. This is Nebraska. This is the way we play football. And 9 out of 10 times we end up usually crushing the team that had to play us next. But so seeing kids with a nonchalant type attitude, and it's not just here at Nebraska. I think it's everywhere. They have all this social media now, and they're so involved with everything. But, yeah, it's a different kid now, and this is what these coaches have to deal with.
Glad you're with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. You can listen to this interview at our e-podcast page at eradiosports.com. We also want to take time to recognize Pinnacle Bank, the way banking should be. We certainly appreciate their corporate sponsorship. And now the Huskers, they're going to take the month of December to prepare for their bowl game, which is likely what's going to be January 2nd, the Capital One Bowl, or perhaps the Outback Bowl. Who do you think their opponent's going to be?
Well, I think they're talking about either South Carolina, maybe in the Capital One Bowl, or Georgia, maybe in the Outback Bowl. But it looks like it will be an SEC team. You know, good for Bo, because he's familiar with those teams, I guess, being the coordinator down at LSU for a bunch of years.
That's so right, yeah.
Hopefully there won't be an excuse if we come out on the losing end in that one. But you got two good good teams. I mean, Georgia really has run off some victories here since losing earlier in the year to Boise. And South Carolina with the new young quarterback taking over for the Garcia kid. You really got to like what Spurrier has done there as well. Now, obviously, with Georgia, they still have a big game here. And if they end up beating LSU, which I don't think is out of the question. I mean, when you have a team that has that type of momentum and you know, with the win streak that they're coming in on, I mean, you have two good football teams, though. But, you know, sometimes when you have everything to lose, and that's the situation that LSU is in, and you're playing a team that, in a way, kind of has nothing to lose, because this was a team that was already firing their coach after three games in the regular season. So I'm excited to see that one.
Okay, speaking of the SEC, let's shift avenues here and let's talk about the fact Urban Meyer returning to college football. Of course, we remember his time with Florida and now the new head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. It's been long speculated on you know, when he would return and become the head coach there. A short-lived retirement. What was your reaction when you heard the news?
Well, I wasn't shocked that he was back in football. I think people expected a young guy like that to find his way back into college football. It's funny because I've talked to some Ohio State fans already, and one of the biggest concerns that they have is, what type of shape is he going to leave us in when he decides to leave? Because they're looking at Florida and seeing how bad they've struggled since Urban has left, and they think that he'll build this team, or he sees a team, especially with Braxton Miller as the quarterback. And mind you, not to go back into the whole Nebraska thing, but Nebraska, if playing a healthy Braxton Miller for four quarters, if he doesn't have to leave that game, that's another win off of Nebraska's final record there. But not to play the what-if game, but, you know, just in terms of that first year in the Big Ten, that's almost an asterisk that you have to put next to that win column. But anyway, getting back to Urban, I think he sees maybe a playmaker similar to something of a Tim Tebow in Braxton Miller, where he looks at that program and says, I can go in there and I can win now. And, you know, I think that is the part that maybe scares some Ohio State people. Trust me, they're happy to have him. And if he rips off a national championship or two and ends up leaving them, I think they'll be fine with that, because that's a national championship or two that they don't have at this point. So it's great for college football. It's great for the Big Ten that you have a high-profile coach like this back in, and it's almost like he's adding a boost of energy to the Big Ten. I think there was a shot of adrenaline with Nebraska joining the Big Ten. I think Urban now coming in and coaching Ohio State gives it another boost. And let's not kid ourselves. I mean, everything nowadays is this conference supremacy, and everything has been geared towards the SEC, and deservedly so. They've played the best football down there as a whole over the last 5-6 years. But I think this is something that conference commissioners are now dealing with, is we want to be in that conversation. And I think Jim Delaney is looking at it and he's saying, you know, whether or not we have to add another team in a year or two, that remains to be seen. But in terms of right now, we want to be front page news as well. And having Urban Meyer come and coach the Buckeyes puts you on the front page, at least for now. until next year starts, because then ultimately it's about winning and losing football games.
Well, and Buckeye fans, they certainly are looking forward to, as you're talking about, a fresh start after such a disappointing year, and we've still got the pending NC2A sanctions. They've got to be better than 6-6 and 3-5 in the Big Ten Conference. What do you think Urban Meyer is going to be his first order of business, because he wants to get hot and right back on that recruiting trail?
Well, I'm sure he's already got a staff that he's at least penciled in. Some guys may already be locked in at other places. Some guys maybe just enjoyed their time under Urban so much that they'd be willing to leave wherever they are. But that's got to be his first order of business, is putting together a staff and then getting out on the recruiting trail. And you know, I don't think it's as big a deal as it would be, say, at a place like Nebraska when you bring in a new coach. I think it was very crucial for Bo when he first got hired that he had to get out and he had to recruit. I think with Ohio State, you're already dealing with a national program. You're dealing with a school that finishes in the top 5 or top 10 every single year in the recruiting wars. So, and I also think that when you have a guy like Urban Meyer who has national championships under his belt at the ripe old age of, what, 47, I believe he is, yeah, I think that people will look at that and say, it's not a matter of Ohio State recruiting me late. It's a matter of Urban Meyer now is the head coach at Ohio State. I want to look at them. I want to see what Urban's doing out there because I want to win a national championship. And Urban Meyer can win championships. He did it in his second year down there at Florida?
Right.
So I think kids realize that because kids now are aware of these head coaches and what they're able to do. Can they win championships? Can they get me to the NFL? And these are all things that you can put check marks next to Urban Meyer's name. Now, I don't want it to basically hand them the Big Ten Conference Championship trophy already and a national championship trophy. I mean, he's got some work ahead of him. And like you said, especially if the NCAA comes down hard on him, I don't think they will, because I have to believe that those are some questions that he probably had answered before he took the job. If it was something where it was up in the air and they were looking at a two-season bowl game ban or something like that, or being able to be eligible for a national championship, I don't know if he would have taken the job. You know, there's no reason why he couldn't wait for it to come available again in 2 or 3 years. I got to imagine that he was getting a nice paycheck from ESPN to do what he was doing. So I don't believe that there was this necessity for him. I think it was just a desire for him to get back into coaching.
Very well said, Jason, and we certainly look forward to a good slew of games this weekend and, of course, as always, catching up with you next week. And we want to hear all about, we don't have any more time, but we definitely want to hear about your thoughts on the Heisman and who's going to walk away with the big winner. Thank you, Jay. Always a great job.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead with the fastest hour in radio here in just a moment.